When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Andre, but if we have to go back, then my family, they're never going to know our daughter, and she'll never know them.
Great. Great. Sounds good to me. Fuck.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love. Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiance.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes. Let's love.
I don't know why that made me laugh
funny.
So hard, but I laughed and laughed and laughed.
I would be so happy if Ellie would never know the rest of the Podhouse family. They're all awful.
She'll be a much nicer person.
I think it'd be nice to have Chuck, to have be with Chuck.
Chuck.
Because it'd be nice to have, they call him Happy. It'd be nice
Is
to
he?
Have, that's but that's what they call him.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice.
Oh,
to,
like that dwarf.
Yes.
I know we don't already, say that word anymore, but Snow
we've
White.
We've already went through this.
We did?
Yes, that he's called Happy. And you shot me down and said, no, they called him Pappy.
Baby, I did. I thought yeah. I was, but we didn't talk about being like a happy, like one of the seven dwarves.
Riveting.
Maybe that's where they got it. Maybe he's a Disney queen. What if Chuck is an underneath Disney queen?
But I think Ellie would be a lot better off than being around that trash.
Oh!
Yeah.
100. Although,
hopefully, I don't know.
How great are the people that raised Andre?
I don't know. We know his family okay. He's just got a lot of anger.
Yeah, no shit. Y'all, this is, hey.
It's Reality Guys.
Season.
I drank it strong.
She's great. Season 7, episode 8. This is our part 2 of Under Pressure.
This is around my neck. It's going to turn me on.
Oh, God. Y'all, ooh. We're in Tamps.
Ooh.
We just finished our last
finished
show.
Our last show last night.
We're here with our producer, Christina, is here working on an ironing board while we're filming on our
We're eating pickles and chips and drinking.
Parmesan. Yeah, if you're looking at the intimate portrait right now, it probably looks like this is about to be a snuff video, and you're not far off. It's in a shady hotel room. Someone's got a cord wrapped around their neck and just vodka sitting on a shitty suitcase.
I didn't know you knew I was gonna kill you later.
Yeah, so
and film it.
We don't know what's happening. Were snuff videos actually real, or is that just
that's
a thing?
Like a thing? Yeah.
Is it really?
I don't think that this is getting dark. I don't want to talk about.
I don't know a lot. We've got a lot of true crime sissies. They're into it. I don't know a lot about snuff videos. Don't send them to me.
Googled
I don't
it.
Want to know.
I've never Googled it.
Maybe it's on 4chan.
I think that's bypassed. I think now everyone goes to 8chan.
All the 8chan.
Yeah.
What happened to Ford? Did he get too safe?
I don't want to educate you about this.
What happened to Ford? Did conservative Christians take over it? Now it's all good or something?
Funny.
No, I don't. I don't mean
talking
to be funny.
About
I'm just
weird
asking.
Parts of the internet.
All right, let's just move on. Hey, everybody.
Love is Blind, coming out Wednesday, October 19th. You can find our coverage Wednesday, Thursday, October 12th at 12:01. We're going to create
Event television. Boo, boo, boo. Uh-oh, you're rushing through things. That means you're getting ripped.
No,
you've got to sip that drink.
I honestly just wanted to get away from 4chan and 8chan.
We've got dinner reservations tonight. Don't get too drunk and not show up. Which he's
done. I've never done that.
Yeah, never done that.
What do you mean?
Y'all, Saturday, October 22nd, I'm going to be at Ardmore, Oklahoma, Southern Oklahoma Pride. I'm emceeing the event. Come see me.
But not in the evening, because you're going to a spook house.
Because I'm going to a spook house with my sister-in-law in Davis, and I'm not happy about it. But she wants me to go, so I'm going to go. But it's going to be scary.
Where is Davis? You know, forget I asked.
It's up by Turner Falls in Arbuckle Wilderness.
Okay.
Kind of in the Arbuckle Mountains. They had a really good football. They were a two-way school, but always had these big, hulking football players. They'd always beat us in football, but we weren't very good.
2A is small.
Oh, yes. We were 3A when I was in school. I think now they're 4A, Lone Grove.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
That's right about what I was about to say.
Anyway, y'all, but still, there is a group. If you're in the Facebook group, or I'll do a post on my own personal Instagram. Well, I'll do one, but on ours as well. There are some sissies that are getting grouped together. The woman that does free mom hugs is going to be speaking there. She's from Oklahoma.
She's a celebrity.
So I got a button last time and gave it to Jackie, our Facebook moderator. So there is a group of sissies going. If you want to go and you're like, but I'm going to go alone. If you're in Dallas or Oklahoma, come on up. Come on down. That's it.
Hopefully there won't be protesters.
Well,
were there last time?
There were, but this woman, Kimberly, who runs it, who's a very, very smart, remember she's part of the lesbians that are out at Lake Murray? Remember the Lake Murray Lesbian Club I told you about?
I don't remember it, but okay.
No, this happened in the 50s. This woman came down from Oklahoma City, this woman named Sue, who was a lesbian, and created kind of this lesbian enclave, and all these women, well now queer people, all live on the shores of Lake Murray, and it's kind of their refuge where they can just be themselves.
Good for them.
And so anyway, they live out there, but this person, this kid came up, y'all, gayer than Christmas. I mean, he would stick a dick or a firecracker up his ass just to get any type of bang. But so anyway, he actually came to the thing and he was trying to preach to people. And
a proselytizer.
Yep. And she went up to him and she said, Kimberly said, but you remember what the good book says, there's a time and a place for everything, and right now is a time for rejoicing and not for proselytizing.
Good.
And she quoted some scripture at him. You know me, I'm Catholic. I don't know the scripture. Magic book. Yeah, I don't know.
It's helpful if you know some, because you can get it right back to
whatever.
Him.
Whatever. Harry Potter. It's all magic to me. And so anyway, she preached it back to him, and he just stood there and looked at her, and he left.
Good.
He did. Y'all, my sister-in-law, Amber's going to be there. Get your flu shot or your COVID booster.
I don't know if you want to get them at the same time, but.
Same time.
Same time.
I did it last time. It was too much. But I just was told I have a bunch of antibodies from COVID. Apparently, when Miss Kova got us.
Most Kova hit us.
That bit was good. Our antibodies are still fucking. They said can't even measure them. I have so many.
Wow.
And you got it at the same time as me. Yeah. So I'm just going to do my flu shot because I don't want to get poodle sick.
My doctor told me to wait a little bit because I had COVID in April.
Yeah, I know. I had it at the same time. My doctor told me the same thing.
I don't listen to what you're saying. You're getting drunk.
You really don't listen. I was talking to some important Christina, and I'm sitting there, and I'm talking, and Poodle goes,
my notes.
When do y'all want to go eat? It's like I'm living or working with a gay giraffe who just pops their head up out of the desert and says,
Mama?
Hey, everybody. Have you had this hay? It's real good.
They don't eat hay. They eat leaves.
Ugh. Anyway.
Eats, shoots, and leaves. Remember that book?
No.
No.
No, I don't. I don't.
It was about grammar and the importance of...
What?
Never mind.
Let's do this. Do we have any other announcements?
No.
We're recording. Okay, good.
Y'all, thank you all for coming to the Double It Tour these last few weeks. We had a great time meeting all of you. We're ready to go back home. We're a little
for 2 days
road weary. You go back after 2 days.
And I'm back.
We decided to stay one more day, and that's what we're doing, just filming this because we know we'd be dead. And Sunday's our big day.
Also, we should know that y'all, Love After Lockup finale. Ours is going to be late, so we haven't even watched it yet.
I think I've made space for it.
No,
on Tuesday.
But I'm just saying it's going to be out later this week.
Yeah.
So
I think I've made space for it.
We will get it done as quickly as we can.
Yeah, it's on the schedule.
But apparently it was good. People were talking about it. Apparently it was good. So Deontay already has a girlfriend.
Wow.
Yeah, he didn't even at our DC show. He didn't even talk about
it. He did a little bit.
And there's a picture of him and Kevin. Kevin, the short king, is shorter than Deontay.
Oh, y'all, and Deontay's tiny.
He's like 5'2".
We saw him in, he and...
Indy
and
Yolanda.
Yolanda were all at our DC show interviewed.
Them.
They were so much fun.
That's on our live show in DC, Lalu, if you want
Yolanda
to listen to that.
With her brilliant green eyes just staring through me.
Oh, it was so great. At one point, I said to Deontay, somebody said, alluded to his dick, and I said, yeah, I saw your OnlyFans. And he looked at me and said, it's a monster.
Oh!
Anyway.
That could hurt my ears when I did that just then.
Same. Okay, let's talk about Lib and Andre. They're making breakfast, and we're having you look at this fucking backsplash again.
Oh, that backsplash.
It's horrible.
I'm going to say this, and not to poo-poo everything that's gone on. This is all sound and fury because they have a child. They have one on the way, which I'm sure they told them when this was filmed.
Probably.
Or maybe not.
I think she was preggers by the time this happened.
Yeah, and she just didn't want to announce it. Maybe she wasn't. But the fact that they have a child together, y'all, this is not a tenuous situation. The only thing that could have happened if a family member had informed on them. But they should be okay because they have a child. That's what happened with Jovi and Yara. Like, they were fine.
Yeah.
This whole thing feels, it's not fraudacity, it feels like just trumped up, you know. Anyway, sorry to rain on that parade.
There was a sissy who messaged me and said, who went through this process and said, we had to go through the interview as well, the interview we didn't think, same type, and they said it was terrifying.
Well, here's what I think about, this is interesting.
At us sissies who have done this, so.
We have never seen Andre so rattled. He is nervous.
He's very.
He
we should
not
talk to John and Teresa about this from Married to Reality.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Y'all, they came to our live show.
John
as well.
Teresa from Married to Reality came last night. We went to a gay bar with him.
We went to a gay bar, and y'all, Teresa got hit on by so many lesbians. She's beautiful.
John was like all the gays were staring at him.
Oh,
he was like the tallest one in the room.
He's so tall, and his skin looks so good, and he told me he's really into skincare, and so I'm more attracted to him now because he's so cute.
Ooh.
But he also said, I forgot to tell you this. So we're at this gay bar called Bradley's.
Bradley's.
And so y'all would
Ashton the Twink was leading me around.
It's
so
true.
I was in with him.
And Daniel and Amber were just drunk, and her sister was sitting in the corner. And so, but he went to the bathroom, and John came back, and he had a look on his face. I was like, what happened? He's like, well, that's the first time I've ever peed in a trough.
Mm.
And I went, what? And y'all, because a lot of these gay bars, it's just a trough. So that way, for two reasons, really.
Access, so you can just grab the dick next to
you. You can grab and look at the other dicks. Or if it's a special event or if it's later in the night, some twinks sometimes can just lay in the trough.
You can just get peed on.
And you can just get peed on.
Yeah.
So y'all think I'm lying or making
They're
this
the
up.
They're the human urinal stick.
It's happened.
Human urinal block.
But anyway, John said he's trying to be, he's like, I'm just trying to keep eyes forward. I'm not trying to look at anybody's junk. And suddenly he hears behind him this guy say, listen, I need to go pee. I'm a twink. And then John said, somebody else said, fuck you, man. You can wait your turn. And then they started physically fighting in the bathroom.
Yo, Tampa's wild.
Tampa's wild.
Tampa's gay bars are wild.
I so forgot to tell you that. I'm so glad I remembered. So John and
That's
Teresa.
Amazing. Listen, I'm a twink.
Thank you, John and Tariq. Y'all, listen to Married to Reality. They are fun. We love them. They do a lot of maths, Married at First Sight, as well as 90 Days. So check them out. We'll be doing
deck,
another
right?
Yep. We'll be doing another collab with them this fall. Later fall.
So this whole thing, y'all, he is so nervous. And he's kind of like jokey. He's getting in the car. He's like, you see me laughing. He's like, I don't get like this. He's always the epitome of cool.
Yeah.
And he can't even be angry.
She's like, what if they ask us how much we have sex every week?
So it's nothing.
Yeah. No, and she's,
no time. No sex.
She's like, let's say two.
Sometimes five times.
Yeah. And she's like, well, let's just lie and say. And then she like, our producer, Christina, knows. Then she realized I was on TV. She's like, well, no, let's not lie. Let's not lie. Let's just say an average of two.
I like it.
My wife sleeps everywhere in the bed. I fucking hate it.
I want to get the fuck out of the bed.
Now,
that's an honest answer. I bet sleeping in the bed with you is terrible. I bet you're just legs moving.
I'm a mover.
Oh, God.
I'm a fitful sleeper, I've been told.
I bet no one ever sleeps next to you.
They always want to.
You know, if I married you or was dating, I would get two separate beds, like fucking Lucy and Desi.
I'm a proponent of this. I've talked about this before. Separate beds sounds like heaven.
I'm fine with it.
You mean you're fine with separate beds?
Yeah, I'm fine with separate beds, too.
Because sleeping in the same bed, if you have enough means for two beds, why wouldn't you sleep in a separate bed?
It's true. You don't even have to fuck with your sleep number. You can have it whatever
and
you
then
want.
You could, if you want to climb into someone's bed, you can fuck them and then leave.
But then
you
they
cuddle for a little
but
bit.
But then they have the dirty bed.
Exactly. But or you get your dog blanket so you can just squirt or cum or whatever you need to, and the dog blanket covers up, and you put it in the washer, and it's fine.
I guess I'm going to need to get one of those now.
You'll need a dog blanket.
All right. Okay, let's look. All
we'll
right.
get you a dog blanket. We'll get great. You an old dog blanket.
Okay, great. So so they're talking about sex, and so Andre says, I'm getting a tight butt from this.
I'm like, and that took
she's
me somewhere.
Like, yeah, she's like, you already have a tie to ask. Y'all, this is just trolling us for the gays that watch this show.
Yeah.
They're thinking of us.
And he's fucking with his tie, and at one point, she's like, you have to adjust it. What do you mean adjust it? He's just big.
Yeah.
And he's flipping
she's
out.
She's like, what are you
this
doing?
He's like, buck, 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 fuck, fuck, fuck.
And fuck, just, fuck. She's like, let me do it, Andre.
And there's just something ridiculously funny about him getting so upset about the tie.
But I don't feel like he's
so
this
nervous.
I don't feel like he's this good of an actor.
No, he's
I feel
very
like
nervous.
This is real. This the interview is real.
What's compelling about that is Andre's not scared of anything, but being thrown out of this country is terrifying for him.
Well, yeah, because there's a mark on his back if he goes back to Moldova.
Yeah, it's not the best place for him to be.
No.
But I'm saying this is how he responds to being scared. This is, and he'll never admit it. He'll just say, I'm nervous.
How do you respond to being scared?
Sometimes it's a little fun to be scared. Especially when the hands are getting tight.
Fix your mic condom and just continue.
Your vision gets a little cloudy. As long as you got that safe word, you can let it tap them. I like spook houses sometimes, as you call them. But my response to spook houses means I can't go because I want to hit them when they
I'm
jump out at me.
I'm
going to
do that too. And those football players in Davis are big. I can't hit them. They'll hit me back.
That's the problem. Like I don't do well. I love horror movies, but I can't. You don't because you get
you know.
Have nightmares.
I like some that are well done.
Like what?
I do enjoy the Scream movies. I think they're smart. They're
those
well done.
Those are funny.
It gave me nightmares and really made me like paranoid in my own home. But I did enjoy the others. That was a really well done movie.
That's a suspenseful
with
thriller.
Liv Tyler. So I don't mind.
Is that Nicole Kidman? Not Liv Tyler. Is Liv Tyler in
no,
it?
The others is where they have the mask over the face. It's the three people and they drive
that's
up in the
not
truck.
The others. That's the Strangers.
The Strangers. Yes. I enjoyed that movie.
Okay. That's a terrifying
film. It was terrifying, but it was so, if it's really well done.
Okay. I gotcha.
I'll be into it. And if it's stuff about ghosts, I normally don't get stressed out scary as much because ghosts, I just call on Sophie and my dad and they just make the bad spirits go away. But
Sophie can't do shit.
But, you know, again, this was a very good movie. But and I've watched it twice because I liked it so much. But, like, Zodiac fucking freaks me out.
Okay.
Can't watch. Like, I'm not going to watch.
That's not even a horror movie.
But it's suspense. But I liked it.
Yeah.
Or, like, I'm not going to watch Dahmer. I'll never go on a date again.
What about, like, Midsommar?
What? I don't know that movie.
It's Ari Aster. It's with Florence Pugh, and it's an A24 movie.
Oh no!
You don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know.
Or Hereditary with Toni Collette.
No, don't know that one.
Oh, but God, like, it's such a fucking crazy movie.
I'm gonna talk about more current movies. Like, what's that one with Sigourney Weaver and Harry Connick Jr.? That
movie.
I loved Copycat. I loved that movie.
Very current,
but it freaked me out. But I loved that movie.
Remember when
Harry Connick Jr. was evil, and that's when you realized you were even more attracted to him?
So, Liv and Andre.
Liv and Andre.
So, y'all, they come out after the interview, and he's like, don't do this bullshit. Don't you fucking dare.
Yeah.
And he's like, we got grilled. They didn't say no, but they didn't say yes.
She looks like when Poodle is going to hook up with the guy and he has a 2-inch dick.
Yeah, just, like, I already know it. Like, my face is white.
He just walks away like this. Sad
and
Poodle.
I love it that it's so interesting, his reaction, because what Andre can't, what he's translating through Libby's disappointment is her own disappointment somehow in him. It is so interesting to watch this because he can't stand it.
He can't stand
her to be. And also, you can tell, sadly, not sadly, but you can tell he really loves her. And he doesn't want her to be unhappy. In a way, it means she's unhappy with him.
Andre,
ego.
It feels like it is his job to support his family. He feels like it. I think it also he feels like it's his job to be kind of an emotional safety center for his family. And he's, as Brene says, he's in a shame spiral.
Yeah.
And he is spiraling, and so he's lashing out because he blames her in a horrible way. Like,
yeah,
making her feel like shit.
He's like, you did not know how long we were together.
You don't know what really got married?
Fuck, fuck, fuck.
Fuck, fuck, Lib, fucking you. When did your husband eat? A fucking good answer. And Libby's like, well, when did we meet? We met online. Or then, remember, we met at that club called Ripples. I didn't know it was then.
And then we talked on the phone, and you ate me out. And then we only had our first date after that.
And then we met in Ireland, and, you know. And so it's like she, but it is crazy to me that she was all about what's my favorite color. One question you should be clear on is when we did meet.
Well, to me, she wasn't taking it as seriously. She's like, you were like giggly. And she's like, I was trying to lighten the mood. There is no mood lightener
Who would report this? I don't know what fucking bubble Lib is living in.
Yeah, it's weird.
But she's not taking this seriously.
But she even says, I want Ellie to grow up here. He's like, we'll be fine wherever we go. So
it's like that happened to me when I auditioned for Allstate. I didn't take it seriously 1 year, and I fucked up right in front of everybody. And you don't want to do that.
You didn't get in.
No, I got in. There was this one solo.
What are the stakes then? Who cares?
You know, but I didn't get in my senior year. Because I didn't practice that much, I didn't make it that year. I just got into my sophomore and junior. But honestly, Allstate Choir was stupid. I didn't like it. But my junior year, I auditioned for a solo. And I, in front of everybody, had auditioned for a solo. And I, the solo line, but I always kind of just would, you know, being a little gay kid, I kind of played around with it. And I was like, oh, I think it sounds better like this. And I always sang it like that. I didn't mean to, but when I went to audition in front of the whole entire choir, I sang the wrong note. And I sang the note, and I changed it at the end. And I went like, I sang the note and I said, shit. And I put my hand up over my head. And the director just looked at me. And you could tell he was trying not to laugh. And he just said, thank you. And I walked away.
Wow.
Didn't get the solo.
He had a story, though.
He probably still said, I remember one time this little nugget of a fairy was just taught because, anyway. Where are we? Hello, beautiful church.
The last thing he basically says is, she's like, but who would, she's like, but someone may have reported us. And
who would do that, Andre?
She's like, seriously?
Who? seriously, Andre, who in our life would do this? I'm really annoyed. Easy. There's no one that would do this.
It's easy to get the hotline, and it's like, good, 1-800-IMMIGRATION or something like that.
Yeah, 1-800-IMMIGRATION. Immigration. I did love
Don't
it.
You whimper. Don't you whimper.
Don't you whimper, Lib. Don't you whimper. And she's like, I just need to soothe myself. Let me have a little lamb, a little lamb, a little lamb, Andre. That's what she says. I loved it when she when Andre did say, great, it's fucking great. Now, and then he said, now we go live in Moldova. She won't have dementia when she grows up. I don't know why he feels like her family's going to give them dementia.
I think he's pretty on the market there on the
money.
You
know what was great about this? We can all relate to this. If you're in a relationship, or even if you just have parents that fight over ridiculous fights, and you have no idea what it is. Because I bet your parents just fought about the most ridiculous things.
We would go out to eat at Capri's Italian restaurant.
Capri's?
Capri's.
Like the pants?
Yes, but more of the... See, like Capri Sun. Like or I was thinking more of the island of Capri.
So like C-A-P-R-I apostrophe S?
Yes.
Like, wait, did Capri pants come from the island of Capri?
I don't know.
Is that like when 60-year-old women started wearing them with sandals and then that's what hit on?
Maybe.
Remember when you had a pair of Capri pants?
Yes, and they looked great on me. My mother called them pedal pushers, but they were really Capris. Yeah, I loved my Capris. They had male Capris for a while, y'all.
Wore them too long.
It was a misguided choice.
You wore them too long, didn't you?
They looked extremely feminine.
Oh, 1948. Producer Christina's looking it up. All right. So, what are we talking about, Capri? Oh, your parents fighting.
Oh, at constantly Capris. At Capris.
And about what?
Anything. What my father would say, some dismissive comment, and my mother's like, what's that supposed to mean? Oh, I guess I'm stupid now. I'll be quiet the rest of the evening. And then my father would start laughing because it was just so over the top.
Uh-huh.
And
that made your mom even more mad.
Mother Poodle, don't do that. Don't do that. And friend Mother Poodle, don't do that.
Don't do that.
And she goes, I'm not saying a word. Let's just go. The whole evening's ruined. Obviously, I can't do anything. Cool.
Were you not able to eat your Italian food?
Oh, no. I dug into it then.
Oh.
Because
you need to hurry up and eat because you have to go home.
Yeah.
Is that why you're a quick eater? Finish eating before Mother Poodle leaves
There's
the table?
There's lots of reasons. I feel like every time we would go out to eat, it was ruined. Either by my father or my mother picking a fight with one another.
And then it's as Andre says, game over. Game over.
That's all I have for them.
Let's take a commercial break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about
Poodle's Broadway Corner.
Poodle, I got to tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No. The doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places,
When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and
the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope.
Poodle's Broadway Corner. I was just hushed.
Well, you know we have to sync sound.
It's Poodle's Broadway Corner. No. Y'all, big news on the corner this week. A sad, terribly sad news, actually. Angela Lansbury has passed away at the age of 96. 28 Broadway shows, 28 Broadway and West End shows, I should
Good
say.
Good for her.
Besides having a career in, obviously, TV and film, her stage career was pretty unmatched. Eight fucking Tonys.
Nominated for an Emmy at something like 18 times, never won.
Never won.
And never won an Oscar.
Who gives a shit, because this is the Broadway corner.
Nominated twice, so a lot of people think she's an EGOT. That is, a lot of people think she is an EGOT.
No,
she is not.
She is not. She was. She was not.
John Legend, yes. Angela Lansbury, no.
Not fair. Not fair.
Not fair.
So I've announced it the night of the first Tampa show. It was just like, because that was Friday night. And
no, it wasn't Tampa. It's New York.
It's New York. You're right.
God, you don't even remember where we are. It's hard for you to remember where we are on a tour if you're not having, because you didn't feel good. So if you're not having sex regularly, you remember the dick you got.
I remember the day, the city by the dick I had.
Yeah, and when you don't get dick, it all blurs together.
It all blurs together. It really does.
It does.
So let's, just if you have a little time, reflect on the career that Angela Lansbury had at 96 years old.
And
she passed.
Yes, and some people who aren't Broadway people, because I think it's still just like, whether it's Bedknobs and Broomsticks, whether it was, what was the other?
She was in the big thing with Manchurian Candidate, Gaslight.
Little kids knew her from obviously Beauty Murder She Wrote, but Beauty and the Beast, from Bedknobs and Broomsticks. So
Mrs. Potts. Murder She Wrote, obviously, on television.
I think what's impressive is that if you're not into Broadway, you still know Angela Lansbury. Mm-hmm. And if you're not into Disney, everybody fucking knows mm-hmm. Angela Lansbury.
But she had roles.
Star.
The last thing she did, I believe, was.
Was it Mary Poppins?
That was the last film role.
What was
but I was talking about stage role.
Mm-hmm.
She did a, I believe it was a like a book in hand stage reading of Portis of Being Earnest, and she was Lady Bracknell.
Oh.
But last thing I believe was, I'm going to fuck this up, The Best Man, which I believe she won a Tony for.
She worked, though, she didn't really ever stop
We saw
working.
Her in Blithe Spirit, and she was the fortune teller. Or I saw her.
You
maybe
saw her.
Maybe
I saw
see
her in Night Music.
She was fantastic in Blithe Spirit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, this is someone who, and she even admitted, she said, I'm wearing an earpiece, so if I do go up on a line, she's like, at 91 years of age, I know my memory is vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the first to say, I don't want the production to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone's coming out with their Angela Lansbury stories.
Carol Burnett had some beautiful ones.
Joanna Gleason had one that said, we did a play. She's like, Angela Lansbury and I did a play together that was going to New York. And about 3 weeks into it, I was fired. And she gave me some flowers on my last day and told me, I'll be seeing you on Broadway soon. And I'm so sorry. And then she's like, and then we were backstage at the Tonys, and I had been in a play, and she was presenting, and she saw me, and she said, "Told you."
Oh, that's nice.
I know. I could like tear up just thinking about it.
Yeah.
And so there were lots of moments that Angela Lansbury helped other actors. And so, y'all, light a candle for Angela Lansbury. It hit me hard because she's been an inspiration for me. I know she's 96 years old, so she lived a wonderful life. I can do nothing but appreciate what she did.
No, it hit me hard, too. I think it hit a lot of people hard.
But I'd kind of prepared myself.
I read that something that came out is that one of the reasons she moved to Ireland, back to Ireland, is because her daughter,
Manson family,
was getting mixed up with the wrong... thanks for ruining the end of the story. Thank you for that. But was getting mixed up with this guy she felt was kind of a cultish or whatever, and it ended up being Charles Manson. Yep. And she said, fuck this, we're going to Ireland.
Moved her family to Ireland.
Yep. Get your lid back on your water. You're going to spill it all over our recording equipment.
The second part of my Pools Broadway Corner.
God, you're just a walking child of 45.
Has to do with the musical revival of 1776. And an actress who made a lot of waves, Sarah Porkolob. I believe it's pronounced Porkolob.
Not familiar.
She's playing. I think they identify as non-binary. So they. Sarah did an interview with Vulture.
Heard of them.
They're playing Edward Rutledge, who sings "Molasses to Rum," the song that just brings down the house about slavery. And it kind of calls out the founding fathers as they're being super touchy about trying to some want to include parts of slavery, and they're like, you're all being so lovely about this, but really slavery is what keeps you all going. And the song is just bone chilling. It's a crazy moment in the show, because the lyrics are like molasses to rum to slaves. All of you who have molasses, that's what it's built on.
Mm.
And so it's kind of that. So this actor is interviewed by Vulture. I don't know how they got this interview, but they ask her questions like, or they ask them questions like, so what do you think about this show? Well, the play is a dusty relic. And so it's hard. We're doing our best. And they basically, they say a lot of good things about casting, and I don't know if you're familiar with this casting, the show. This is a fully female and non-binary and trans cast of a show that is all women except for two roles. And
wait, 1776 is normally all women?
All men.
Oh, it's normally all men.
You don't know 1776?
I don't know the show at all.
Really?
No, I don't.
I thought I was talking to someone who knew 1776.
No idea about it, no.
Great book by Peter Stone. Kind of forgettable music, if I need to be frank, except for like Molasses to Rum and possibly Is There Anybody There, the final song. But it's about the signing of Declaration of Independence.
I've seen it, and I don't even remember it.
Wow.
I don't know where I saw it, but I saw the whole thing, and I can't remember a thing of it.
It's a pretty dense show. I think to call it a dusty relic is a little bit, I think it's quite revelatory for today.
Yeah.
But
I didn't mean that I don't remember it because it's bad.
Gotcha.
I don't remember any. Yeah.
But it's all men except for two women conventionally.
So this cast
entirely female or non-binary or trans.
Okay.
Yeah. So they ask Sarah, are you artistically fulfilled by being in 1776? No, I'm not. The salary's good, but this. So, y'all, these are if you don't know anything about performing and how the community of performers works, it's such a thing of we don't criticize our industry because we're so happy to have a job, which I outright reject. We're so thankful to have a job. We can't say anything because of this director. The director is God, and we follow what the directors, that the producers are God. We follow what they do. I'm just so happy to be working.
Mm-hmm.
But they went on. And they go on to criticize certain directorial choices while the show is running. And it's not done. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to feel this way. I think it's a little disrespectful. I'm not even thinking of but to the production, because you want to sell tickets. And I don't know if this helps sell tickets. Maybe it does. But... they went along, they criticized the direction. They called some of the directing choices cringy. And, I mean, can you imagine?
I disagree with you, actually. I think that I don't necessarily say, oh, I'm so grateful for the work. But I listen to someone like that, and I just say, fuck you, get out of this.
That's
that
kind
if
of...
you don't, I'm not saying you have to swallow everything and say, oh, I'm so grateful to work. But to really, for me, it's not about, you're making it about you. And I'm thinking about all the other people in this production that are being employed because
I think
of this.
I think it's disrespectful
to
cast members.
I agree with you. Self-centered view of looking. And I think that when you're an arts, unless you're a podcaster just on a mic by yourself or like the two of us, but like for most in the creative arts, it is a true group effort.
Right. But I was going to say, this has sent shockwaves through the Broadway community.
I would never hire that person.
This person, and I don't think they never really wanted to be a Broadway person. They grew up, they were kind of cutting their teeth doing their own one-person plays.
Go back to that. Keep talking. I'm getting another beer.
I don't think that working with an entire cast is for this person.
No shit.
And working with it, and I'm kind of this way too. When I'm being directed, I don't love it. I much rather self-direct myself.
I've noticed. I've noticed. Does not take direction well. This one does not. Even when it's good direction,
we saw a woman today with a cat shirt that says, I do what I want, and I wanted that shirt.
And I looked
at... Just had a picture of a cat, and it said, I do what I want.
And yeah, because you were going around looking for roosters in Ybor City to scare me.
I was trying to scare you.
Because I was terrified.
Y'all, that's all. That's Poodle's Broadway Corner for this week. But I agree with you. I'm just saying, I can almost see their point.
Well,
I do agree,
because I think maybe we both have a problem with it, but I'm imagining for you.
Oh,
but
I have a huge problem with it.
But no, but let me finish. For me, though, the whole, I'm so, so grateful. A lot of that especially comes from, like, men giving a role to women and women. So that grosses me out. And so, or like as someone who's queer, you're like, I'm just grateful to play the role of the dance, of the dunce gay or whatever.
And
there's a...
One thing
there's
I want
a
to
line,
clarify.
But that person is way past that line.
I want to also clarify that every theater role is a job that we're all making.
And
money
I will
from.
Say, like, you took the job, you're getting paid. So imagine what this would be like if you worked just a regular corporate job and you were getting paid good money and you're just talking shit about your job.
Well, Broadway is good money, not like it used to be. But they also say in the end that they're happy giving 75%. And in Molasses to Rum, I give 90%.
Wow, what an entitled piece of shit. What an entitled piece of shit.
It's one thing to think it, but to say it and it to be in print.
As a fellow artist and actor, I'm deeply offended by that.
Yeah, that's when I went... Ooh, you can't say that. And they say, but if I give 100% all the time, you deplete yourself.
Not
and
true.
I can see in practice how that would be true, but to say it is another thing.
I also disagree
anyway,
with that.
Anyway, let's move on because I was reading it and just going.
It's shocking that person would say that.
Yeah, while the show is going. It's one thing to do it after the show closes.
Yeah, that's fine. It's like a lot of people, you know, this isn't a Broadway, but it does feel like there's a lot of people talking about this Kelly Ripa book and her like throwing Regis under the bus. And I kind of look at that and she's telling me that, like, honestly, I was reading the article, what she said, and Kathy Lee came out to say, you know, that she didn't say anything bad about Kelly, but she just said Regis was my friend. Like, we had a...
Mm-hmm.
And I read that and I thought, basically... Regis just wasn't really friendly to you. It didn't sound like he was super...
You don't have to be best friends. It's a job.
To her. And I went, you were making just average money on a fucking soap opera, and this man gave you a full-on career.
It's like this podcast. It's just a job for me.
Yeah. Anyway, I just felt like... I felt like whether it was, I asked myself, because, you know, you're sensitive. I said, would I feel this way if a man said it? I said, I would. I feel like if it was just seems so just, wow. The only reason you're able to write a book that people care about is because Regis wanted you to be on the show with him.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that.
And it's okay to have that feeling, but like,
It's a job. You don't have to be best friends.
And how is it brave for you to talk about someone after they're already dead? That it's just gross to me. I don't like it.
Let's talk about Bilal the Shida.
Y'all,
the bus is revving up.
I came out.
I'm gassing it up.
I came out this morning and he was trying to rent a party bus for this. And I shut the computer.
We're going to paint that bus like Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Oh, we're going to have the best fucking time.
Oh, God. Bilal's like,
bring your corkscrew. Bring any implement you like.
He's driving around.
Leave your family and kids, though. Oh, they won't be going where we're going.
He says, honey, it's a good day. It's a good day today.
It's a good day to find out you're infertile.
Well, no, he says, it's a great day. It's a great day. You sure you want to go to that doctor's appointment?
Which again, y'all, to find out you have a low egg count.
I'm gonna read this actually because I looked it up because I wanted to make sure.
They go to Dr. Minabile's office.
Doctor, do you have the eggs? Do you have the eggs?
You need to have a baby within 6 months. You need to start trying shite.
The clock is ticking. Dick, dog, where are my eggs?
Y'all, we just cracked up Christina.
Sorry, y'all.
Do you mean her egg count is low? Do we have to start having children? No. Oh, no.
I want to talk about this, that I looked up the thing. I think I said this in the live show, y'all, but a sissy pointed this out. We have a sissy who lives close to them and it's kind of stalking them. Sissy, don't get arrested for stalking Bilal and Shida.
And also, even more important, don't give him a heads up that the bus is coming.
He needs to be
unaware.
Y'all, he didn't even take her to a real fertility clinic.
No.
So because
it's like a Botox. Because
if they were going to a real fertility clinic, they would test both of them and said, this is perfect for Bilal because they're just testing her. I looked at this. It is beauty, health, and wellness. So and his NPs there, nurse practitioners, do gynecology there, but they do like hormone replacement therapy. They're a medical med spa. Hence why someone has a lot of cheek fillers.
Yeah.
And they also are known for doing like medical weight loss.
Yeah.
This is not a legitimate fertility clinic.
Nope.
This is bullshit. Shida probably doesn't know any better. And he took her here. It's not even Kansas City. It's in Overland Park, Kansas.
Oh, yeah. They went all the way to Kansas. Yeah. So we do find out she's saying, please be good news. Please be good news. Please be good news, which is just heartbreaking. And we do find out her egg reserve is low and time is of the essence. And y'all, you hear that him saying, he says to Bilal, you should start in 6 months. And Bilal's face just drains of color at that point.
Oh, that is I wrote, he looked shook, kind of like when Jon Snow saw White Walker for the first time, just like, what the fuck? Also, this is going back, but I rewound it. Did you watch this? I watched it like four times. So there's when the woman opens the door and she says, Bilal Shida, Dr. Mirabella is ready to see you. Did you see the woman who realized she was on camera? And she went, oh no, I can't be seen. And she freaked out and ran.
And I love it if they kept that in the edit. She's like, oh no, no, no. Blah, blah, blah. Oh.
She ran up to the side.
I just love how they kept that in the edit.
Oh, I did too. I watched it like five times.
That's one of those things I wouldn't be surprised if that was a rushed edit.
Oh.
And they kept it in there and they'll take it out of Sunday and put it on Sunday night show.
Oh.
They'll take it out of Sunday night show.
God, it was so fucking funny.
It was ridiculous.
Oh, it made me laugh so hard.
There's not a lot here. The doctor tells them, don't wait more than 6 more months.
think it's time to make a decision.
Kind of gives her the whole thing, like, after 40, your chances decrease to 5%. And Shida is horrified, just saying, this doesn't sound like it's a lot. And he's like, well, you know, not really. And Bilal says, you know, it's hard to see someone you love get emotional. But
then you just
it's not
them.
A matter of emotions. It's a matter of if it's the right time to have a baby.
No, it's the matter if it doesn't happen now, it won't happen.
And it's
the
matter of
asshole.
Yes, and that you did tell her that you wanted to have children.
Next week is even worse.
I'm terrible. I laugh maniacally because it made me so happy. This doctor basically said, yeah, you need to start doing this right now and shit or get off the pot. And just to see, this is exactly what I wanted Bilal to hear to his face. But you know what?
It's not going to change anything.
It's not going to change anything. He's going to gaslight the fuck out of her even more into having not having a baby.
Trust me, y'all. He's never going to do anything he doesn't want to do. That's why we got to really catch him unaware when we get him on the bus. So, again, when that bus comes by and you hear,
that's poo.
You come a running. Give your baby to your husband. Your baby will be fine for like 3 weeks. It won't take more than that. I don't know. Then the week we have for celebration, though.
Yeah.
The week after, it'll take us a little bit just to get the blood off our bodies. But the week we have for celebration will be really fun.
By the way, this is totally random and about a completely different show, which I know you love it when I do that.
I love these segments.
But did you see that's a little bit of low-deck crossover because it was BravoCon. Everybody's excited. Y'all, I'm so glad you're at BravoCon. We're never
going
to go.
We're never going.
We have no desire to go. And
I don't
want to
be with those
people.
We're
going to go next year. We don't want to go to BravoCon. We're glad that you went. We know Mary and Ari Payne at Pink
Mary
Show.
Payne.
Y'all,
Aaron. You went to say Mary and Ari Payne.
I just said Mary and Ari Payne.
Marinara Payne.
The beer's kicking in. Y'all, they just had their first live show. They did one in New York and one abroad. Yes. We're happy for them.
Congrats, Pink Shade.
Congrats, Pink Shade. We love
your cherry.
But that's great. Ryan Bailey went.
Your pink cherry.
That's
Ryan Bailey
great.
Was there. My husband, he just don't know it
we
yet.
We love it. We are never going to go to BravoCon. No. Just letting y'all know that. So, but did you see
even
that?
What if they invited us? I still wouldn't go.
If they paid for everything, I might go.
Even
but
then.
But it's got to be at a good hotel. I want to stay at the Waldorf.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Captain Sandy has a new book out, or is going to have a new book out.
It is called "You Can Be the Calm or Be the Storm." Oh, what a fucking idiot!
Y'all,
oh,
you can guarantee.
God.
I'm going to tell y'all now. If you listen to our Below Deck podcast,
you can be the calm. Or you can be the storm.
Y'all, we have gotten exclusive excerpts from the audiobook that we will be reading
on our
show.
I have a feeling we've gotten the unreleased. I have a feeling we have some unreleased audiobook. It may or may not have comparisons to episodes of Laverne and Shirley.
God, she loves that shit. She loves Laverne and Shirley. She thought Squiggy was the one guy she could date.
He's so funny. Let's move on to Jovi and Yara.
Jovi Child. He's packing, getting ready to leave work. He's wearing a dad shirt.
Yara, I really wish that Yara would not go without my green card. Without a green card, because like when I leave, she might go to Europe. And she might go and she might take Mala.
Jovi, I don't want to wait, Jovi. Why do I want to wait?
I would normally
so long,
be okay
Jovi.
With Yara going without me, but there's like a war going on. You know, there's like a war.
Okay.
It's like a whole war.
A sissy, this beer is strong.
Great. I think you're getting ripped. We still have dinner later.
It's fine. So, a sissy emailed me or messaged us, you know, because we were kind of like, we both didn't want to admit it. We were kind of Team Jovi on
this.
Yeah,
we were.
Way. And a lot of me still is on this, but the sissy said, she was like, Maddie, she doesn't want Jovi to go because she's going to have to take care of him because he doesn't speak the language. She just wants to go and relax with her mother. And I went, I get that. But there is also a war.
I get that. To me, it is, it it would be doing a disservice to Joby and making him crazy while his wife was over there. I think he would be losing his mind.
I also think too, I still think this is the first time her mother is meeting her granddaughter, and I would want to my mother to see my family.
Yeah.
And so that's different. As Jovi even said, he's like, if Yara wants to go over there any time of the time, that's fine. It's just
Yara,
work on.
I'll go with Yara. Now, here's the thing. We see later on, I've always thought that this was just all frill. I think that it was drama for nothing. This whole idea of her going.
Oh, because he asked her to sing. She goes, okay, Jovi.
Yeah, so
she
agrees to wait. And y'all, Yara's going to meet Mrs. Quinn. And he's like, look at Babushka.
Miss Quinn,
Babushka's
yes.
there.
I feel so good when I spend day with her. Miss Quinn is my friend. I love it when she says that because there's something childlike about it. It feels like in kindergarten, when like, you know, when you were in kindergarten, little people, give me your hand. And you know how a little friend would come up to you and say, Jaybird, you're my friend. And what would you say to them?
No, that didn't happen. Oh, that's not how that went. That's not how it happened. Not how it occurred. I would go up and they would say, hey, what's your name? I'm like, my favorite dinosaur is an Archaeopteryx.
And they would just go,
I would accept a suitable answer as Diplodocus.
Oh,
or Diplodocus.
God.
But there is no other suitable dinosaurs to be fun. Because when I was super into dinosaurs, I don't mean I was just into dinosaurs. I mean every single dinosaur, I knew the name. And also why the name meant that. Like all the Latin names. Yeah.
Poor mother the poodle.
I can't hear another dinosaur name. That's the last dinosaur t-shirt I'm buying you, Jay Bird.
That makes sense why you loved that show on ABC.
Loved dinosaurs.
Not the mama.
Not the mama.
You kind of are that baby dinosaur.
When he would hit the father, it was the funniest thing for me. And the mother-in-law.
Oh. Because that show is like so lowbrow comedy.
Oh,
but the fact
that
it would be like somebody loving Two and a Half Men and you love
it
that show.
It was smart. It was smart, I promise you.
They're
doing crafts. Yeah, and y'all,
I don't like crafts.
This is when she's like, it's a lot of work. And then she said, in America, we have to have sign on the wall. We have to have family. We have to have love, laughter. I'm like, Yara, we are sisters.
You know,
thank you, Yara, for
we've
preaching.
Always like, y'all, Yara hates word art.
And she's right. And she's like, I don't know, in Ukraine we have, what is that, rug on the wall?
Yeah, and she's like, we have rug on the wall.
Y'all, I'm just going to say this now. Besides word art,
all these signs. Oh, God.
You don't have to blanket your every inch of your walls with things.
We know that you eat in your kitchen. You don't have to remind us.
You don't need tons and tons of shit on your walls. It's okay. You can have
my dad's wife, his third wife, she had shit everywhere. And when I moved in to take care of him, she just left the screws out. I took out just in the living room 112 screws. That was how many things were hung up on those walls in the living room.
Here's the thing.
God, she was a bitch.
Make your art mean something to you, and don't put something on your wall just because you need to fill up a space.
Well,
just make it mean something. If you or and even
she
if
she bought
even
them if, all at Cloverleaf.
If it is word art, make it word art that is meaningful to you.
Yes,
not gather. Not live, laugh, love, not family, because that's generic garbage. You know, it's just not every single wall space needs to be filled. Now every hole needs to be filled.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Let's just continue.
Where are we?
Yeah, I think that cane vodka is hitting in.
Yeah, it's good. Okay, it's good. Mama like.
Your eyes are getting kind of spooly, like Deontay, so I know you're getting ripped.
Oh, his googly eyes just like, bing, 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 bing.
And holy shit, Christina's almost finished her bottle of wine. We got to get this show wrapped up, y'all. Are we on part one or part two? All right. I don't even know where we are.
So I think they're just painting and
yes.
She did get her green card.
And she's like, Miss Gwen, I go to Czech Republic when Joey comes back. She's like, we're going to go next week. And she goes, next week.
I just give the baby, you give me the baby.
What, Miss Gwen? No baby, Miss Gwen.
You live what your mother with me.
That's not how she talks,
y'all.
But she does, she'll say things like, Yara.
Yara. Yara.
I know she wants to go back to Europe.
But she says, like, basically she says, Miss Gwen says, well, you're going to leave Milo with me. She's like, I didn't think so. I want her to meet my mother for the first time.
I wonder when she's like, but she needs to meet her other grandmother. And she's like, I think you're being really selfish. I love how forthright Yara is.
And Gwen kind of just goes, okay. She's like, I wasn't thinking about that. But then Yara says, like, she's like, I love my life in America. She's like, but, you know, I might, because Miss Gwen says, how long are you going? She's like, I don't know. I might go for a long time. And Miss Gwen says, well, you got what you want and you're going home. And that's, even though she likes Yara, she thinks that all the time.
Yeah. I guarantee you Gwen will always be this green card thing.
That was shitty of her to say.
Yeah, we'll always be throwing that out.
Because as Yara says, Jovi is gone, y'all, for like 2 months at a time sometimes.
Yeah.
And as she says,
a month.
But she says, she's there by herself a lot. She says, does it matter where I live?
It doesn't, but it will matter to... it will matter to Gwen.
It's not a huge long flight, but maybe they could work something out where I don't see there's anything wrong where every month when Jovi goes to work, she flies to see her mother for 3.5 weeks.
What should happen?
It's expensive.
What should happen is if Yara, and now I'm sounding like Jovi, if Yara really misses her family, and they should find a way financially to live in the Czech Republic for 6 months at a time and live in 6 months in New York.
Yeah, they could leave 6 months at a time. Or again, it would be a lot, but they could. That's a lot, though, to fly back and forth. But they're going to have to figure this out now before Yar starts going to school.
This
is a good time for her to go see her mom for a month and come back.
I just think this is all a little bit drummed up storm clouds for drama. Again, they don't have problems. Except for an actual invasion of her country. That's a problem.
Well, and they do have problems in that, y'all remember, Yara never wanted to live in the United States.
That is true.
Yara loved Jovi. I know that doesn't make sense to a lot of us, but Yara loved Jovi, child. She doesn't give a fuck about living in the U.S. So what would you do if you fall in love with a man and he's never fucking home? I think I'd want to go back to Ukraine as well.
Sounds wonderful. When they're I could do what I wanted to.
All right. Is that the show?
That's the show.
I'm a little drunk and I don't even know where we are, y'all. But that's it.
That's the show,
y'all. Give it up for, I feel like I'm at a live show. Give it up for our producer, Christina, for being with us today, y'all. She's been eating poodles, cupcakes, and drinking wine. Y'all. I'm a little sad that I can't say, come see us live anymore.
I know.
I'm a little sad about, y'all, it's going to be a whole year. But
I'm ready
next,
to get home.
Okay. Next fall, though, we'll be coming at you, and we're already trying to plan something in Vegas. So
yes.
In the winter. But y'all, we call these, follow us at realitygaze.com. Follow us on Instagram at realitygazepodcast. Follow us on TikTok at realitygaze. And we're also a little bit on Twitter, and you can get us on Facebook. Our
Twitter's a cesspool.
Sissy Squad is on. Almost 10,000 members strong. And we're going to announce it. If you are the 10,000th member of the Sissy Squad, we're going to give you $5,000.
No, we're not.
We didn't talk about that. I just wanted to say it.
$5, maybe. You're going to get a gift card to O'Charlie's.
You know what? You're gonna.
If there's no O'Charlie's in your neighborhood, tough shit.
Then Poodle's gonna go eat at
O'Charlie's. And send you a picture soup on you,
probably of his donut hole, and say, "Welcome to the club." That's what you're going to get, everybody.
It'll be worth something someday.
We're almost 10,000 members strong, so that's very exciting.
If you're the 10,000 member, we'll do something. We'll do something.
Really?
Yes.
What? We're like at 9.9, so we need to hurry up and think. All right, everybody.
Before we say something.
We call these people lonely hearts, y'all, because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places?
Yes, and if you've ever looked up 1-800-IMMIGRATION...
Dementia.
Call us.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.